The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman & Manna and Daikin brands. Today, we're joined with Jason Howard. He's with CI Web Group. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So today, we're going to be talking about the Net Promoter Score. And for many of the people that are listening, they probably have heard the term before, but a lot of people have no idea what the Net Promoter Score really is. What could you just help us out with a little bit? Tell us, how do you get to a Net Promoter Score?
Sure. So the Net Promoter Score measures how loyal your customers are and how your ability to retain your customers. So you get to the score by asking them a simple question. On a scale of 0 to 10, how likely are you to recommend our company or our services to your friends or family? Mm-hmm. And based off of that score, you get a fair assessment of where they lay in this category. So basically, if they score anywhere from 0 to 6, they are a detractor, right? So they're not happy at all. If they score 7 or 8, they're passive. They're in the middle. So they're not totally happy, but they're not angry either. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of cruising along. If they score a 9 or 10, then they are promoter. And those are the people that are very excited about your company, your product, and they will talk to people and recommend you. And so those are the people that you can leverage to really spread the word. It's kind of like free advertising or free marketing. And so that's how you understand.
So anybody that has tried to do customer surveys or polls in the past, is there a target response rate that you're looking for? I send out 1,000 of these messages saying, hey, please rate us on a scale of 1 to 10. What should my return rate be on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you always want the highest return rate get, right? And it's going to vary on industry. And there's various methods and, there's times of the day and days of the week that you get best response times.
Okay.
So generally, like first thing in the morning and earlier in the week, those are recommended. But a target rate would be at least 3%.
Okay.
At least 3%.
So if you're getting 10%, you're actually doing really, really well.
Correct.
Somebody might be beating themselves up saying, I'm only getting 10%.
No, yeah, that's pretty good. It's hard to get people to answer surveys. It really is.
Yeah.
We're all busy, you're always prioritizing things in your inbox, and a survey is pretty much the last thing you want to take.
Right.
But the key thing about the Net Promoter Score is it's so easy. It's not like a multi-paged, multi-question survey that you have to respond to. It's just one question, and, you just hit a number, and you're done.
Does it skew the numbers at all depending on how you do the survey? Like if you had a technician that was in a home and they said, hey, I just need you to take this real quick survey real quick, and maybe they even handed, here, would you mind taking this survey and use my own device? Does that skew the data at all, or is it better to have the data come afterwards? What are some good practices, best practices in terms of Net Promoter Score?
It's better to do it after.
Okay.
Because if I'm asking you face-to-face to how is my service, I might be pressured to give a more favorable. Like, it's hard to criticize somebody right in front of their face.
Right.
And so you want it to be somewhat anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Although at the same time, when they respond to the survey, they know that, their information, their contact information is recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's kind of the whole purpose of it. But at the same time, it's just easier to give more direct and valuable input when you're not in that person's face. All right.
Do you have a target that a company, especially home services type companies, should be shooting when they look at their overall net promoter score.
Yeah, I mean, you want the best score you can get, right? And so the benchmark for this sector is zero, believe it or not. But let me explain exactly how the NPS score is categorized. If everybody that answers is a detractor, then you have a minus 100 score.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody that answers is a promoter, then you have a plus 100 score. So anything from 0 to 30 is decent. It's good.
Okay.
All right. Anything from 30 to 50 is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Anything 50 and above is excellent. All right. And so that's how you kind of measure and categorize how well you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go into more about like how that score is actually calculated as well. So what you do is you take the percentage of promoters and you take the percentage of detractors. You subtract the percentage of detractors from the promoters.
Mm-hmm.
So if 70% of the survey takers were promoters and 10% were detractors, then your score is going to be 60. 70 minus 10 is 60.
Okay.
All right. So you're doing really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are some levers that you see that many of your customers are using, many of the contractors that CI Web Group works with are pulling in order to improve their net promoter score?
So there's various things, right? What makes people happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a service industry. So how available are you? Mm-hmm. How quick was your service? Did you answer the phone call or the contact quickly? When the service technician arrives, was he friendly? Was mm-hmm. he kind? Was he prompt? Did he answer all of your questions? Was the material that was used, or the air conditioner or whatever was installed, was it of quality?
Mm-hmm.
Did it last long?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so as you survey these customers, these clients, over a period of time, you can get that information.
So if you, it would, the assumption would be if you have a lot of detractors, you probably don't have customers that are lasting very long. You may be more transactional in nature as a business. If you have a lot of promoters that you're working with, the assumption would be that that group of people is staying with you a longer period of time and hopefully even recommending you to other people that are around. Is that correct?
That is very correct. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's you really have to have some kind of way to measure how happy your customers are.
Mm-hmm.
There is a quote that said, if you're not measuring, then you're guessing.
Right.
Right. So when you survey people and they take the time to actually not only give you the score, but it's an open-ended, like, kind of comment field in there, too, so they can leave their input, whether it's positive or negative, right? And so that's very valuable. How do you, like, what do you do with that information? How do you synthesize it and gain insights from it and, you know, apply that to your business to make actionable items, right?
So,
and decisions.
Having more promoters or if you have a lot of detractors, that's going to impact the overall calculation of your customer lifetime value. And that's one of the things that, I think a lot of businesses today look at, because you look at how much does it cost for me to acquire a new customer. Last I've heard in the industry, it's somewhere between $400 to $500. It tends to be the range. Sometimes it's higher than that. Sometimes it's a little bit lower. But that $400 to $500 seems to be pretty standard around the industry. And so if I know it's going to cost me that much money to acquire a new customer out there, then I want that customer to stay with me long enough so that we have enough profit that's going to cover that acquisition cost that we have.
Correct.
And if they stay with me well beyond then, well, then it's all, you know, more revenue that we bring in, more profitability so that we can offer better programs for our employees. We can make sure that the business continues to grow. We can offer more services to our customers, continue to run a really good business. You know, what things do you see that a contractor can do to really help increase that customer lifetime value that they have?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it's really about being friendly, being prompt on time, and being aware of the sentiment of the client, and just capturing all that information and bringing it back so that people can act on it. Was there anything about the service or the product that was unsatisfactory to them, right? And, you know, the contractor might just kind of try to forget about it or not address it. But when you actually record that data and synthesize it, you can start to see patterns that develop, right? And those patterns should be noted, and then you can take action on it to address it.
One of the things I've noticed that you have not said at all in all of our talking is price. And price,
yes.
And so how does price impact the Net Promoter Score in your experience?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's always looking for the best deal,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you always have to look at the price and assess whether or not you can lower the price to be more competitive and get more business, right? So, you know, it's always an interesting conundrum, because at the same time, when you don't have the lowest price, that perceives value in the eyes mm-hmm. of customers as well,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's a fine balance there of like, yeah, you know, you're going to pay a premium, but you're going to get a premium service as well, right? So you never want to discount yourself too much.
and that's right? One of the big challenges. I love the word that you use, conundrums that most business owners face. I want to offer the best customer service and experience I possibly can, but I also have to balance that back with the price level that I have. So in order to have enough people to answer the phones, I have to pay for the people to answer the phones.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be responsive, I have to have enough technicians and trucks on the road to be able to go out and be responsive to the needs that the consumer has. In order to make sure that my guys all show up in a clean uniform and look presentable when they get there, I have to pay for a uniform service to make sure that they that we have all the stuff that we need. I need to make sure my people have all the tools that they need in order to be successful. I need to make sure that you know, that we get the best employees. In order to do that, our wages are going to have to be attractive to attract the right employees. The benefits are going to have to be right to bring everybody in. And all of that stuff is valued back in there. So in your experience and working in several different industries, does a price being low in the marketplace, what kind of impact does that have on the overall Net Promoter Score? Or is it more all of those other things, the responsiveness that you've talked about, the cleanliness, the doing the job the right the first time, and those types of things? You know, where do you see those big impacts?
You know, price is part of the equation,
mm-hmm.
but I would say the latter, all those other things you mentioned, have way more impact on NPS. You know, people are very impressed by attentiveness, timeliness, cleanliness, friendliness. That makes a lasting impression on them. And of course, yes, they are looking for the best price. And, you know, they probably contact the company that has a more competitive price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most people will kind of shop around, right? You just don't go with the first person. Like, you want to compare them with the next, with at least three or four other contractors, right? What's going to set you apart is how quickly do you respond to their inquiry, right? If they send an email, how quickly do you respond to it? If it takes you a day to respond, you're going to lose out, right? How available are you,
mm-hmm.
right? 24/7, 24/5, or just 9 to 5.
Right.
Right. And so people that respond after hours, right? I mean, a lot of people are working 9 to 5 or even longer. By the time they get home and start contacting contractors, it's, you know, it's in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's things like that. And then, you know, when contractors show up, are they personable? Are they clean? Are they dressed nicely? You know, there's all kinds of things that factor into a way that the customer assesses your company and your value. So you gain all that insight when you survey people and you start seeing this data come in and seeing what people are saying.
Which one is more important? Is it the top line price or is it the affordability? If you have a contractor that offers financing and has different ways to pay for it, do you think the customer looks at the affordability? Okay, it's going to be $150, $160 a month versus a top line price. Which one is the bigger driver for most consumers?
Affordability seems to be the bigger driver, you know, especially, you know, within the last year, you know, post COVID, mm-hmm. the economy has not been the best, mm-hmm. you know, and people are, you know, they're looking for ways to save. Many people are working many jobs, you know, more than one job. They're pinching pennies. So that price is definitely a factor. Mm-hmm. It is a motivating factor in their search. As a company, we have to be aware of that and assess what is competitive in your area and make sure that you pivot and adjust accordingly.
Okay. If I'm a contractor listening to this right now and I said, hey, this Net Promoter Score thing, that sounds like an interesting thing for me to do, how often should you be sending surveys out to your customers?
A good standard is once a month. I mean, so the way it works is like we were talking about the customer mm-hmm. lifetime value, right? It's good to, for example, you go and you install some machinery, and then you survey them. And so the results of that gives you a first impression of where they stand.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you continue to survey them, you know, once a month or once every 3 months, like once a quarter, you understand what if that sentiment continues, mm. right? And if you see that after 6, 9 months or a year even, that it starts to drop off, like maybe they started off being a promoter, but after a year, they're no longer a promoter. Then you can look at that and see, like, why are they now passive or a detractor? What happened mm. to cause that, right? And so it's the software and the tools that manage the NPS surveys are really good at this, at automating that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really something you have to stay on top of. And it's like, set a calendar reminder to send the survey out. Like, it'll automatically send it out at whatever given period that you design it to set it to. So that's very helpful and useful.
So you're talking about fragmenting the Net Promoter Score. Maybe I look at, okay, people that are getting tune-ups, we're looking at, you know, what's the Net Promoter Score from people that are on our maintenance agreement plan? What are the Net Promoter Score for those that got a new install with us?
Mm-hmm.
But then looking at them 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months down the road
mm-hmm.
and seeing what that changes.
Yep.
And then that's where the fun starts, and in my opinion, some people may think it's fun, some people may dread this part of it, but that's where you start to say, okay, how do we re-engage this customer?
Mm-hmm.
They started off as really, really promoting us, and then we see at the six-month mark, now they're just neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we re-engage that customer and get them more involved and excited to move them back into that promoter score? And if you're looking at your business like that, it can be a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the beauty of the surveys, right? Because if they become passive or detractors,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, they're going to tell you in that survey, right? I think there's one stat that says people are 50% more likely to share a negative experience than a positive one,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you're going to get those insights. They're going to tell you exactly why they're not happy, right? Like, oh, I scheduled a maintenance and the guy showed up late, or, you know, something like that. They're going to tell you, and then you can take that and focus on it and call them and apologize. Give them some kind of discount on the next, you know, service. You know, whatever it takes, you can get creative with it. But that's how you focus on them and turn the dynamic around so that they get back to being a promoter.
You know, speaking of that, it's interesting. How does the Net Promoter Score tie or does it not tie with like Google reviews?
Oh, it definitely ties hand in hand.
Okay.
For sure. For sure. So, I mean, we all know the power of Google reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, people will go and put a negative review in there very quickly.
Right.
Right. But it's really interesting. It's like human nature where if we have a good positive experience, we're not as prone to share it.
Right.
All right. We have to be kind of prompted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We just go about our way. It's like we have this expectation that, of course, yeah, we're going to have good service, right? I'm not going to talk about it. But the second we have a negative experience, we're telling everybody under the sun about it.
Right.
Right. And so that shows up in these Google reviews. And we got to be very conscious to monitor those and to be very responsive to anything that's negative. We want to address it.
You know? No, it's interesting. I think there's a right way and there's a wrong way to handle those negative comments that a contractor may get.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any humorous comments that, you know, where you've seen a contractor go completely the wrong way? Or are there even some creative ways where you've seen a contractor respond? I think one of the worst things you could probably do is not respond at all, right?
Yes. Yeah. Not responding at all is definitely the worst thing. You know, my advice about reviews is it's human nature again to be very defensive.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes you have that right. But the thing to keep in mind is that the customer is always right.
Too, right.
Right. Right. And so there's this fine balance of understanding and using the right approach. Where you're not kind of jumping down their throat, but you are, you know, establishing your values as a company and showing exactly what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And also like owning up if you did mess up, then owning up to that.
Mm-hmm.
and reaching out to them and saying, you know what, we're sorry about that. And we want to make it right.
Yeah.
We want to make it right. And here's what we're going to do. Like show the actionable steps that you're going to take. You know, so yeah, it can be very, very interesting. But I mean, the key is definitely paying attention to those reviews and being very responsive. You don't want to just let them sit there because that shows up very negative to people that are looking, right? The,
mm-hmm.
Anybody that's considering your service is going to look at that Google review and read some comments and kind of make an assessment accordingly.
I know I've had several contractors that I've worked with in the past that I've almost gotten into battles with customers in the public square, so to speak, mm-hmm. on Google, going back and forth with the exchanges. And mm-hmm. that's where it kind of goes wrong, and mm-hmm. you don't want to do that. Even if you truly do believe you're in the right,
mm-hmm.
I think acknowledging that a person is feeling like they were wronged, I think right. that's perfectly acceptable for everybody to do, is to say, hey, I'm sorry that you feel this way. You know, please give our office a call and we'll do whatever we can to help rectify this situation for
Absolutely.
You or to make it right. And when people are reading those reviews and they see the timeliness of that response, they see that you're willing to listen and hear the other person out, I think that makes a huge difference for people out there.
Absolutely. I mean, that attentiveness and that willingness to be there for them and to listen. Like a lot of times people just want to be heard.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, they feel that their complaint or whatever is just going to go into some empty box and they're going to be ignored. And they're like, forget this company, man. These guys, they're just not, you know, they're just not in tune. All right. And that's the perception you want to avoid. And it's so easy to avoid that.
Right.
Just be responsive.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing in society today is authenticity. You know, be your authentic self. And then to your point, listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all heard the saying, you got two ears and one mouth.
Yep.
You know, if we can just sit back and listen to what people are truly saying, that's when we're going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. So true. Very true.
You know, Jason, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you coming in here and talking to us about Net Promoter Score. I know almost everybody's heard of it, but mm-hmm. so few people really understand what in the world this thing means.
You're right.
We look forward to having you on future episodes. And for all of those of you that are out there, please make sure that you like this episode and go ahead and follow us so that you can see all of the new episodes that we have coming out. Thank you again so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having
me. Yes.